Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, choir. Thank you, band and worship team. Would you just give the Lord a hand for them? Give a hand of blessing unto the Lord. They do so much. So many times it goes unnoticed. But I'm telling you, when we get to travel around to the different churches and all of that, we're blessed. And let me just say it like that. And I thank God for his leadership in Robert's life and to our worship team and to the band and to all of those who rotate through. What a blessing it is. And what a privilege to stand in this place for Pastor Howe. I love our pastor. I love what God is doing in and through his ministry and his leadership. And he's actually leading a marriage conference where Selena and I served for 23 years. And so just been praying for him this weekend. Got a text yesterday that things went well. Expecting great things today as well. So you pray for them as they drive back home today. And I want you to take your copy of God's Word and go with us to Romans, as Robert said, and step into the story. I want to, this morning, just in listening to Pastor Howell over weeks of ministry and just thinking and being in other churches. And, you know, people come in and out of places. People listen online like this week in and week out. And so many times we come in and we leave out the same way we come in. And that's never God's intention. That's never God's intention. We ought to be encouraged. We ought to be challenged. We ought to be moved in a way that we go out stronger than we walked in. Maybe it's life change that needs to take place. Some of us just need to get out of complacency. Urgency needs to be relevant in our life, evident in our life. It needs to be there. We need to be about the kingdom of God and doing what God has called us to do. And this morning, somebody may be listening online, somebody in this building, and you might say, you know, Brother David, I've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I want that to begin today. Somebody might say, boy, I've been walking with Jesus a long time, but I'm not where I need to be, and I need to take it to the next level. Whatever God wants to do, maybe this morning you walked in looking for encouragement, just in the presence of people of God and serving under the presence of God. I pray that you find that. And if you need somebody to pray with you later on, or even right now, it doesn't matter to me. It wouldn't bother me if you went and tapped somebody on the shoulder and said, I need you to go pray with me and go and do that. Because I want us to think about this morning stepping into the story. And everybody has a story. When you think about your story, how do you begin that story? I pray that you could start this morning. You say, there was a time in my life when I was living my life apart from Jesus Christ. But then I came under conviction and the Holy Spirit of God moved on my life and I accepted Jesus personally as my Lord and Savior. And you complete the sentence where you are. I hope you have that kind of story because so many people have a story and they'll begin telling it and they'll talk about how good they are. They'll talk about what they've given. They'll talk about what they've done, but they never get to the point of where Jesus Christ changed their life. I was speaking with somebody this week, and it was a week where people were in and out of the office and a lot of things going on in people's lives. And this guy came in, and he was talking about, he said, here's what I'm afraid of. He said, I'm afraid that many people who sit in our buildings on a weekend basis have joined a church, have a name on the roll somewhere, but they've never joined Jesus Christ. And I looked at him, and I said, I don't know what the fear might be, but I said, that's truth, and that's reality. There was times in our lives, going back in ministry, where pastors in their day would stand and say, hey, we want you to come and join the church. We have opportunities to join the church. And I'm afraid, as Association Mission Strategist, as a pastor that has served the Lord for over 30 years, that many people join a church, got their name on a church roll, and never joined Jesus Christ. Therefore, there's no fruit, no activity, and no serving of the Lord Jesus Christ in everyday life. I'm telling you, folks, men and women, young men and young ladies, there ought to be a difference when Jesus touches our life. There ought to be a change in our life. And there's a continued growth aspect when we step into the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about the gospel, being the greatest story ever told. Is it important? You betcha. How do we apply it is so important. And I'm telling you, people say, well, we're on different levels. We are. But we all have the same mandate to come to Jesus Christ under faith, to surrender our lives totally unto him, and then to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. God, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. And I'll follow the leadership of God, whatever he wants me to do. I want to be obedient to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Look with me in Romans as we look at one passage of scripture, and then I'm going to give you several of the references that you can take and look at a little bit later. But one of my favorite passages of scripture, one of my favorite verses in all the New Testament and Paul's writings, verse 16, Romans chapter 1. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation, listen, of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentiles. And look back up in verse 8. I don't think I gave them that in the notes, but I want you to look as you follow on. Look what Paul says. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Listen to what he says, because your faith is being reported. Look what he says, all over the world. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I pray that's our prayer this morning. God, that people all over the world hear about our individual faith, that people all over the world hear about our faith as East Haven Baptist Church, as an association of 40 churches, as a Mississippi Baptist churches of over 2,000, and then the literally thousands of churches across the world. God, that faith, that people hear the story, and God, we're not afraid to tell the story. So this morning, Holy Spirit of God, challenge us as we step into the real story, the gospel, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. May you be glorified, Lord, in this time and in this place. In Christ's name, amen. So how do you apply it? You know, when you look at Paul's life and you do a little study, Paul had never been to Rome. He had written the letter to the Roman church on his third missionary journey. And all of us would dare say that Paul is the greatest missionary of all time when we think about that. And something was evident about Paul. He loved missions. He loved people. And that's what you and I, when we think about it, we ought to love people. And Paul loved the church. I mean, when you look at all of his letters, he said, I praise God for you. And he goes in and he goes with a disclaimer about that in the service of the church. And you think about the Roman church. You may say, well, if Paul didn't start it and so didn't, so how did it start? You want to know how it started? It started from Jews coming out of the Pentecostal movement that took place at Pentecost, and they came in Rome, and they started the church. And many times the church is started because of persecution. Had a conversation last night. Many of you know I just recently returned from Uganda, and they were talking about the safety of the issue and all of that kind of stuff. And we were just talking about some things because we had armed guards at places this time. Never had that before. But we had to have it before where we were. And they were talking about the persecution. 170 Christians just across the border was beheaded just weeks prior to us getting there. And things that you don't ever hear about. But you think about the gospel. You think about what Paul did. I say that to say this. Paul murdered thousands of Christians. Paul was on the way, if you remember, to Damascus. And was going down to take men and women and bring them back and torture them and kill them. But he had an encounter with Jesus Christ and he was never the same. And so you think about that in our life and what God has done in the story of the gospel, the good news, the fact that Jesus is King, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is Savior. That's major, men and women, boys and girls this morning. That's major in our life when we think about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people will say, he's my Savior, but he's not my Lord. What's wrong with that picture? That means we're living life in total disobedience. Let me just say to you this morning, if he's your Savior and he's not your Lord, then you're very miserable this morning. In this building, online, wherever you are, because you cannot live in sin and live in disobedience with the Lord Jesus Christ without having life miserable. God loves us, and he disciplines those he loves. I mean, you can go back through the biblical times and read your Bible, and you'll see that over and over again. And so this morning, I want you to really think about your story. Are you living life in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, our life should be about him. It should be about him. I told those folks that were talking to me about Africa, I said, I don't worry about that. I cover some things with Selena before I leave. And I told her on this time, I said, you know, I don't know what happened. But we had things in order before I left. And folks, listen, God calls us to do some things. And he's calling you and I to get outside our comfort zone. Right here in Lincoln County to move. Listen, there's over 20,000 people that are not in church anywhere in Lincoln County. 8 billion people in the world. Only about 2.3 million of those 8 billion even profess some form of Christianity. Over 70% in Lincoln County. You do the numbers. We're approaching 70% lostness in Lincoln County. In Mississippi, we know it's 70%. I'm telling you, we need to think about who we are. And Jesus intends for the kingdom to grow and to move. And who's going to do it if you and I don't do it? We get those invite cards that are printed for us. And take that seriously. Don't just put them down and don't invite anybody. I mean, think about Easter. People will be in church on Easter that have not been since maybe last year. Maybe never been in their life. Step into the story. You know, when you think about it, being born again. Listen, so many times we think about being born again. And we say, well, you know, I want to go to heaven. And, you know, I could probably tell everybody in here, do you want to go to heaven or hell? And if you know anything about it, everybody's going to raise their hand and say, I want to go to heaven. But the real deal is heaven wants to get in you. Heaven wants to overcome you. And I'm telling you, God changes our direction in our life. May change our careers, just like he did in my life. He moves us forward and does what he does. And to let heaven really get into you and begin to think like God really wants you to think. I mean, when we think about what Paul says in Ephesians, by faith that we're saved, not of ourselves, but as a gift of God, not a result of works that no one should be able to boast. And I love that next verse, for we are God's workmanship. Listen, created in Christ Jesus. For what? Good works. For good works. Listen, and the thing is, the end of that verse is important. It says, which God prepared for beforehand for you and me to go do. It's already laid out there. I'm convinced that Blackaby was right when he says, God's got a garage just full of stuff wanting to give us, but he's got to wait till we're able to receive it before he can give it to us. Because we're not ready for it. So I ask you this morning, are you sitting here today and just saying, you know, I've got my ticket to heaven and I'm good with that? Are you praying that heaven will fill you and change you? It doesn't matter your age. I took an 88-year-old man to Africa this time, a layman. And just the blessings of God, I'm telling you, God's work, the gospel story at work in your life, in my life, and sharing your story. Recently, I sat in a training, and it was talking about sharing your story, and I told you a moment ago, everybody has a story. But here's what was said. We can tell the story. We can tell the story, but many of us cannot use the Bible to underline our story. We don't know the Bible well enough to tell the story. And you think about that. We need to get into that and really use the word and think about it, a major issue today, to be able to share the gospel. And we gave thousands of Bibles away in Africa this time. African study Bibles. Didn't even know it existed to this trip. A beautiful Bible that's illustrated for the Africans. Stood in an area of a people group that doesn't even have the Bible in their language. Stood with the pastor who's working with Wycliffe Bible translators that is now translating the Bible into the Oringa language. Man, I'm telling you, just a humbling experience. So this morning, you have your listing sheet, and I want you to follow along stepping into the story. That number one is God's character. I want you to think about God's character this morning. I want you to think about who God is, because I hear over and over again people say sometimes, well, the man upstairs, or the big man this, or the big man. Listen, he's not the big man upstairs. He's your creator. He's the one that loved us so much that went far beyond any one of us would ever want to do when he sent Jesus into the world. I mean, you think about him being the creator. You think about his character, how holy God is. And the Word of God says that you and I are to be holy. What? As he is holy. People say, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Yeah, you're a sinner saved by grace, but you ought to be changed because of the power of God in your life. You're changed. And God, when you think about his character, he's just, he's holy, he's righteous, he's loving. And in reading through the Bible, and I'm doing the chronological read through this year and thinking about, just finished Deuteronomy, and you know, we talk about the love of God. He's a good, good father. He's a loving God. All of that is true. But we don't talk too much about the judgment of God. When we get in the Old Testament, we begin to read about the wrath of God. We begin to read about the penalty of God. Go back and look at Sodom and Gomorrah if you haven't looked at that lately. If you're out there and you say, I'm a child of God, but here's where I'm at right now. I'm just not in tune with God. Think about the prodigal son. It says he came to his senses. Sometimes I think we need to come to our senses and realize God is holy, but yet he's just. And the judgment of God is going to be real. And if you and I don't know him as our personal Lord and Savior, if anyone doesn't know him, then there's going to be the judgment, the wrath of God upon your life. Slain, I said in a funeral a few weeks ago, and I got to tell you, I was brokenhearted. I told her afterwards. I said in that funeral, and the person doing the funeral got down towards the end, and he said, I want you to pray for, and he named the deceased. And then he went and named five or six others that had been dead for numerous years. And I want you to pray for them. Man, I walked out of that funeral. I'm not going to lie to you. I was brokenhearted. I told Selena, because we love those folks. And how many people live their life thinking today that, hey, it's going to be all right. God's a grandfather figure, and whatever I do, However I live, maybe even after I die, there's somebody to come along and pray me into heaven. Listen, folks, that's not going to happen. Not according to the Word of God. Word of God says you're appointed once to die and then to judgment. So you and I need to be real about that, and we need to think about what's going on in the character of God. I thank God that he's full of grace. He's full of mercy. I thank God that we're able to go into the throne room that we just sang about. That the veil of the temple was torn and it was open all of heaven to you and I. You don't have to go to a priest or someone else to go unto God. Once you come into the saving aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ and you accept Jesus your Lord and Savior, Jesus is your high priest. He's the one who enables you to enter into the kingdom of God, to go right through the throne room of God. You think about his character, he's just. He's omniscient, he's all-knowing. Some people have trouble wrapping their minds around all of that, and omnipotent, all-powerful, and omnipresent. God can be everywhere, anytime, anywhere. Satan can't do that. He has to depend upon his demons. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, and you say, I don't even believe in demons. Well, I'd love to sit down and talk to you. I know Pastor Howe would. Because if you believe in angels, you got to believe in demons. And if you've ever been in the presence of demons, you'll believe. I can promise you that. It won't take but a few seconds, and you'll know. The character of God, listen, the guilty will not go unpunished. God is a righteous judge, and he wants everybody to realize that this morning. It's who he is. Go to number two. Because God is a righteous God, the offense of sin is real. The offense of sin. See, it breaks my heart that we take sin and we consider it on a level of white lies and slander and lust and adultery and then murder. Boy, it's a big one. But we don't ever talk about our own disobedience. When we think about the offense of sin, the fact of a holy God, and we go back to the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve, and we look at what they did and what did Satan do to them. Oh, surely, take that fruit, you're going to be all right. God just doesn't want you to be like him. And he convinced them to take the fruit of fruit. And as a result of that, then sin was offensive from that very moment. Not too long after that, God came looking for him in the garden. Adam! Adam! Where was Adam? He was hiding. Why? Because he was ashamed. You see, I'm afraid that many of us sit in our comfortable chairs and around our houses and our homes and we're hiding because we're ashamed, because of the offense of sin. You really begin to think about what God says and the offense of sin and the fact that all of sin, can you imagine, and you'll see over these next few weeks all kinds of depictions, I'm sure, but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strung out naked before a world. Father, why have you forsaken me? And looking out on the crowd, forgive them, God. They don't know what they did. The offense of sin, it hurts God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You may have walked in, you may be listening online this morning, you say, oh, I'm good. I got it made. I'm one of those folks that it's going to be okay. No, the Bible says that every one of us has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you've been around religious teaching or any kind of teaching for a long time as far as religion is concerned, you'll hear these statements. Sin takes you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And here it is. Sin's going to cost you way more than you ever intended to pay. And you think about sin and you think about the fact that it hurts, that sin separates, sin kills. You think about what Satan has come to do is kill, steal, kill, and destroy. And if you play around in that sin playground very long, that's exactly what's going to happen to you in your life. He's going to kill you and he's going to destroy you. Men, listen to me. We need men more than any other time in our life, I believe, at least in my lifetime. We need granddaddies that'll take a stand and stand with their kids and stand with their grandkids and lead them. We need men to rise up. Listen, we know it from history past that when men rise up and get their lives right, families will follow. And little boys and little girls, they need to see the example, men. They need to see your example. We live in a time where pornography runs rapid within the church. We live in a time where sin, you know, what is right is wrong and what's wrong is right. We need to realize that sin hurts God, and here's the next level of that. God hates it. It put Jesus on the cross. And I want to say something to you before I move to the next point. Sin's bigger than you. Sin's bigger than me. You can say, well, I can handle it on my own. No, you can't. You got to get some help. You turn to Jesus. You need to be in a discipleship group. You need to be meeting. You need to be discipled in that, and men need to be together. Praise God for hungry men. Praise God for what God is doing, in, I believe, in all across our men and in relationships, and you just need to be involved. Just need to get involved. So we think about God's character. We think about the offense of sin. I want you to listen to the sufficiency of Christ. Sufficiency of Christ. Christ came not to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. You can't do it on your own, but Jesus can. It's the gospel story. Christ is either enough or he's not. That's just the way it is. Christ is. And so the truth is that Jesus is enough. He's Savior and Lord. And he's either your Savior and Lord or he's not. You got to think about that. Sin messes you up. And Jesus is the one that straightens us out. Romans 5:8 says, but while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated his love for us, that Christ came and died for us. We're justified under his blood. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. John 14:6. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven to men by which you must be saved. Jesus is sufficient. He hung on the cross for your sin and my sin and all sins of the world, sins past, sins present, sins future. He paid the price. Nothing that you have done is at the level that God can't do and forgive you for it. Nothing. You say, I'm too bad. No, you're not. You're still breathing. You still got a chance. But here's the next one. Personal response. It requires you to respond accordingly. Christ is sufficient. Sin is offensive. The character of God, the judgment of God, all of that is real. But you cannot save yourself. I can't save you. No other pastor can save you. Your spouse can't save you. Your parents can't save you. Parents, your children can't save you. Only Jesus Christ. And you have to make that decision. I told you a moment ago, my fear is that people join the church. They never prayed and asked Jesus to change their life. They never asked God to do a work in their life like they never experienced before. They never surrendered their life to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today is the day. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, today is the day of salvation. You can't come to God. This is another lie that you hear from the world. You can come anytime you want to. No, not unless the Holy Spirit of God convicts you and draws you. That's your time. And so step into the story. Think about what God wants to do in your life. Old things are passed away. All things become new in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Think about who God is. Romans 10:9. If we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you, it doesn't say you might be. It says you will be saved according to God. Number five. Eternal urgency. Eternal urgency. I just told you a moment ago, 8 billion people in the world, 2.3 million, billion of them profess some knowledge of Jesus Christ or relationship with Jesus Christ. You do the math. I'm telling you, it's urgent. Eternity's coming. It's closer now than ever before. And you and I have this moment. You have this moment in this building. You have this moment online. And you and I don't need to put it off. We don't need to wait. The older you get, the less likely you are to come to Christ. 77% of professions of faith come before the age of 18. 95% before the age of 30. Listen to me, only 6% after you turn 19. After you turn 19, 6% chance. I mean, you think about that and what God wants to do in your life. Everything could change in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, everything could change. I want to ask you this morning, are you ready? Where you sit this morning, wherever you are in your home or in this building, are you ready to meet Jesus? If your number comes up today, are you ready? What's going to be the outcome of that? Are you living life in God's will, Christian? If you're a child of God this morning, are you doing all that God is leading you to do? If not, why? Because the day of the Lord is going to come. First Thessalonians said it'll come like a thief in the night. So step into the story, the gospel, the good news. Last point this morning is life transformation. How do you know you're born again? How do you know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? Because you can step in the story. And you can tell that there was life before Christ. You met Christ and there's life after Christ. And they're not the same. See, there's a difference in saying, boy, I got to go to church today. Versus, man, I get to go to church today. Looking forward to being with folks today. I'm excited about serving when it comes Easter weekend. Or you say, man, I don't know. I don't want to go with the crowds. Sad thing about that is we'll go to the crowds to Walmart, but we won't follow them to the cross. It's a sad thing in our life. When you really think about life transformation, you think about the fact of Jesus Christ and let heaven get into you. Say, I'm not perfect. Didn't say you had to be perfect. Just need to be surrendered. God will take care of the rest. I need to get to this point before I come to Jesus. No, you don't. You come to Jesus and he'll take care of the rest. Watch what God will do. The gospel changes your life in its entirety. It'll change your plans. It'll change your careers. It'll change your friends. It's going to change your priorities. Just like it did Saul previously. You look at his life and you say, well, that was somebody in the Bible. Is the same God in the Bible of Paul's day the same God that we serve today? Is he? Do you believe it? Not many people do, evidently. Do you believe it? He is. Same God. Same God of Paul is the same God of us today. And he does the same thing in our lives, transformation. Step into the story. North American Mission Board missionaries, as you think about them and you begin to pray for them, our IMB missionaries around the world, local missions folks, BSU Summer Missions, I thank God so much for Jed and Heather's leadership at our BSU, our student leaders. And it just means a lot when we have folks that step up and do what needs to be done. You pray for people like Trenton Mueller in L.A. and Robert Cotello in L.A. and Kyle Rosas and Lee Davis in Phoenix, Charlie and Leslie Harris in Canada, Isaac Woodward and Matt DeLauder. I just went married to one of our Lincoln County girls, and Isaac has ties here in New Orleans. I could go on and on and on. You think about your part in life transformation. How is God leading you this morning? What's God saying to you this morning? What needs to change in your life? See, I can tell you there's voices going on right now. Voice saying, oh, you're okay. Just sit still. You don't have to do anything. You just sit still. It's going to be all right. It'll pass. What about the Holy Spirit when he's saying, come into me, all ye who are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Come into me, all you're in turmoil, and I'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. Come into me this morning, all you who have uncertainty about your future in heaven. Come into me, and you can have eternal life. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to spend eternity in heaven. Come into Jesus this morning. Life transformation. There's still time. There's still opportunity. But you and I need to step into the story. We need to get involved. We need to be giving. We need to be serving. We need to be praying. And we need to be going. So the answer is for you this morning. As you look into the mirror, would you be bold enough to pray, God, show me the me that you see. God, what needs to happen in my life? How can I be a better young person? How can I be a better parent, a dad or mom or grandparent, grandma? How can I be a better coworker? God, what needs to happen? It's not about a work salvation. Remember what we said. We are God's workmanship, intended for good works, which beforehand he created for us to do. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Our worship team is coming to lead us in this time of invitation. Our staff will be down front. You think about it this morning. When you think about the character of God, you think about the fact of the offense of sin and the sufficiency of Christ. The fact that he loved you so much and he loved me so much that he went to the cross for our salvation. These altars are open. Maybe there's a husband and a wife that want to come to the altar and just pray this morning. A grandfather and a grandmother, a single person. Somebody that just needs today to come and surrender their life to Jesus Christ. Our staff will be great at directing you to counselors. Maybe you're just struggling this morning. Say, you know, I need to go to the next level. It'll be a great opportunity for you to come this morning. Let Jesus have you this morning. Would you do that? God, show me the me you see. And then, God, I need to respond to that to become the one you want me to be. Father, in the name of Jesus, before you we are. And, God, it's decision time. It's real time now. And, God, I pray, Holy Spirit, you take away the fear right now. That there would be a boldness amongst men, a boldness amongst women, that the fear would be gone. And God, if you lead us to the altar, that we'd come. If we're struggling and we need encouragement, we'd come. God, if we're not where you need us to be, we'd come. Come to the altar of God this morning. Go to these prayer altars. Go to these steps and pour our life out to you this morning. God, I pray that we would step into the story, commit ourselves to giving, commit ourselves to serving. Commit ourselves to going. Commit ourselves to just doing, God, all that you've called us to do for the glory of God. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Stand with us.